Praise the name of the Lord. It's so good to be with you on this momentous day where you are actually fulfilling your destiny. The DNA of this house is sending out and planting and doing the things of God. And in the midst of this season, you are busy about the things of the kingdom. And so you should give yourself a hand of applause because you are doing great things. I'm so pleased with what God is doing. And I'm thankful to be here again. It's always a privilege to come and be with you. It's like being able to see what God is doing, but also having an opportunity to contribute, pour my life into you. I don't come just with the word of the Lord, but I come to impart my very life, my experience with the Lord. So many times we are very conscious of what is going on in the world, but we don't know much about the deep things of the Spirit and what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, because we can so easily suppress his voice and diminish his voice in our life, and we can hear every other voice. We can hear the loudness of the enemy speaking that you are no good, but we can't sense what the Spirit of God is saying. I need to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord is one that's for you. Amen. He's been sent to make sure that you fulfill every purpose of God. I don't trust myself no more than God trusts us to be in the right place at the right time, but he trusts the Spirit. This word of the Lord says we don't even know what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit, he's praying the will of God, and he's always, God knows what is the will, what is the mind of the Spirit. So I don't worry about all of the things of trying to be right or do all of that. That's the Spirit of God's ministry, to make sure that I'm in the right place at the right time, that I'm growing and I'm moving. I can't even interpret my life. If I interpret my life, I could say I was a failure. Because if we're looking outward and we are giving value to ourselves by what's going on outside, you could miss it. God could be pleased with you and you not even know it, because you're looking at other barometers that tell you that, hey, look, you should be doing this. So I know we have been so used and accustomed to be drawn outward and pulled outward. So you better look at this. And it's all in the sight realm. Even though we are told that we're not to walk by sight, we are to walk by faith. And faith has to do with the things of the Spirit. So today I want to speak to you. I'm going to speak to you on my life, and this is very dear to me, because I received this revelation more than 20 years ago when I was in Bible college that I'm going to share with you. And I had to learn some things about how God does things. He doesn't always come when you think he should. And he doesn't do what you think he should be doing. And I'm going to be talking to you out of Psalm 23, very familiar scripture. And I'm going to be talking about your shepherd and how he leads you and how he restores your soul. I'm going to be talking about the soul and how the soul is inclined to be drawn into the presence of the Lord. It is your awareness of this presence and the drawing. We understand that the shepherd is the one who leads us. But I got to tell you, you can't be led until you are drawn. God has to first draw you before you can be led. And the word of the Lord said, you can't come to me unless the Father draws you. So that tells me something. I can try and I can have it in my mind and my plan that I'm going to come to God and I'm going to find him and I'm going to do that, and I can't do it without the Spirit. I can think that God, when he's speaking about the good shepherd that's leading you, he's talking about how he's leading your soul. Your soul. And he's bringing you back to the presence of the Lord. And I need to tell you that this intimate place, this secret place of his presence, is not somewhere out there. But if we know that he dwells in us, but that is uncharted territory. We don't know much about our innermost being. And yet the shepherd is the one that's given to us to bring us back into the presence, that deep presence that's in you of the reality and truth of God. And it can be a treacherous journey. We're going to find that he leads you even in the shadows of death. He leads you in some scary places that if you're trying to walk by sight, you'll miss what he's doing as he's drawing you deeper and deeper, and as you're losing your control over what you do and when you do it. It's like when I tell people, I don't decide when I pray to God. I used to, when I was a young Christian, I used to decide. I said, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I thought that was good because I was sacrificing some sleep, and I'm going to pray for an hour. And sometimes I say I pray for 2 hours. And I thought I was doing something until God began to show me that I'm not in control of the relationship. That I thought I was ordering the relationship, but he is God, and he's the one that decides when and where you're going to pray and how long. But we don't know this God. We don't know this God that can draw you. And I didn't know him. I was preparing. It was my last year of Bible college, and I was preparing. It was the end of the year, and I had all these tests and all of these papers to write. And I had given God my hour in the morning, and I was preparing to start on my paper to research, and I felt the Spirit of God drawing me. And I said, not now. I have all of these papers to write, these tests. This is not the right time. And I said, no, not now. And then he came back, and he drew me again, and I could feel him drawing me. But I was resisting it because I thought I needed to be doing something else. But he didn't give up. He kept drawing me until finally I said, well, I give up. And I thought it's going to be an hour and a half. That's taken out of my preparation time. And then the Holy Spirit began to draw me. And you know what he said to me? He said, we're going to deal with your anger today. My anger? Yeah, that's what I wanted to say too. Because I want to tell you that our anger in our soul is in our emotional part of our soul. And when someone does something and injure you, you feel it in your emotions. And in your emotions, I'm going to tell you, house all the memories of everything that's ever been done to you that was wrong and injurious. But we don't often deal with our emotions because we've been taught that we just need to get over it. And so I learned in my mind to shift my mind and move on, because they had hurt me, but I kind of rationalized it and said, okay, but I need to move. I need to forgive. I need to do all these things that I know that I need to do, but I'm doing it by the my mind. I learned how to discipline my mind. But I tell you that the emotional part of you never forgets a wrong that's done. And we're going to talk about this. I'm going to systematically, but I want to tell you that what we're getting ready to do is release power that's been suppressed. We have learned how to suppress our feelings, and I had learned how to suppress feelings, but the Holy Spirit was drawing me, and he said, today we're going to deal with your anger. And I didn't know that I was angry because of something that was done to me that I had forgotten mentally. It could be something that was done to you as a child, and your emotions never forget. And they're always crying out for justice, and they will not be quiet. And so this is what happened to us. We think we have dealt with it mentally, but every once in a while there's an eruption of this anger, and you feel real bad when you let this anger out on somebody that's probably undeserving of it, but yet you release some anger. And the Holy Spirit said, we're going to deal with that, because where there's an unresolved issue, there's always a pain or injury, and there's anger in your emotions. And we can suppress it, but it's going to be an explosion, because you got to understand that you have a right to express your emotions. Just like you have a right to think, you have a right to feel. And I'm going to take you through it, because this is the journey back to the wholeness, because we have been operating on just mind and will. And we have suppressed the emotions, and I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord understands that, because in a real way, I was suppressing him. I was telling him, not now. This is not the right time. And in many, many churches around the globe, you see people suppressing the Spirit. We call it quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit. But that's what we do. And that's what we've been doing to ourselves and our emotional self. Be quiet, not now. You don't have a right to feel that. When they're telling you that you can't trust your emotions. And I tell you, within the emotional being is discernment. There's often times when your emotional self tell you that what was done to you wasn't right. And it doesn't matter how many people tell you it was okay. And I'm talking sometimes there's some deep things that sometimes you will touch inappropriately, or something was done to you and you just had to move on because there was no justice, but the Spirit of God in your emotions is crying out for justice, and it will not be quiet, and it's often your emotional self, and that's where your anger is. And so he began to come to me, and he was drawing me deep, and he said, we're going to deal with the anger today. And I thought, what anger? I've gotten over all of the things. I've forgotten anything. But as he began to tell me, he said, this is a safe place. He said, you've been so accustomed to suppressing. Have you ever been so angry until you were afraid after you came back to yourself? And you said, I'm never going to let that happen again. Because that was dangerous. You were out of control. You were saying things, and you had a passion and a power that you couldn't even harness. That's why we go into the explosion of this passion and power, but we're going to know what to do with it. And I want to need to tell you that our emotions are meant to be expressed, and that's why the Psalms are written. The Psalms give you an opportunity to express every emotion that you have ever felt. You see the psalmist sometimes giving thanks to God. You see them giving the joy, expressing joy and just ecstatic joy. But you also see the psalmist expressing great pain and disappointment and rejection. And I learned that as you've read the psalm, sometimes the psalmist is saying, Lord, kill all of my enemies. You think it stopped there? And their children. Don't let not one of them live, see the sun rise again. I had to look at that, and I said, God, you're not going to really answer that prayer. You're not going to kill all their enemies. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I'm not. But they need to express it. And this is the right way. This is the safe place when you are pouring out your emotions, God. When you're pouring out your emotion, if it's ecstatic joy, you're pouring out your joy to God. They will not be quiet. They're given to you to express, and we have to learn how to express our emotions, and we have to learn how to be in a safe place. So he began to tell me, he said, let's bring it to the surface. And I never will forget how I began to feel this rise, and I felt the anger coming up out of me. And when it got about this far, I got scared again and afraid, because I could feel that. And I started to suppress, and the Holy Spirit said, no, bring it out now. Let's let it come out. And so as it was coming out, it was like dark shadows coming up out of me. And this went on, I thought it was hours, but it was about 20 minutes. And he said, this is enough for the day. You can go back to your homework. And the next day, he began to do a little bit more. And he was teaching me how not to suppress my emotions, because they are telling me something. And as I'm going to teach, I'm going to begin to teach in within your emotions. Your emotions is the very foundation and the core and stability of your soul. It's not the flightiness that you think. It's the very stability and foundation of your person. Your emotion, and in there is your discernment. We're going to walk through this, and I'm going to release this power that we didn't understand, that the reason why we suppress or quench the Holy Spirit is because we can't control him. He can come do whatever he wants to, but we don't like that. Because that interferes with our programming, what we think should be happening at that time. And so we learn to quench him without really knowing. But we do that to ourselves. We said, be quiet. Don't shut up. We're doing this to our own emotional self. Just think if somebody did that to you. Shut up. Your parents said, don't talk. Don't speak. You said that was abusive. Yet we let our emotional self, the sensitivity there, we treat it like, I don't even know what, like they don't deserve a right to speak or be heard. So we're talking today. I wanted to give you an overview because I wanted to get your attention. We're going to deal with that, and it's going to be an explosion in this house. It's going to be an explosion because we have been suppressing a part of us that belonged to God. God created the soul so that he could enjoy his creation through you. And you can enjoy him. And we need to understand that God is wanting to bring us into a reality that all souls belong to him. And that he created and he knew what he was doing. So I'm going to read from Psalm 23, and I want you to hear it. Just four verses. Very familiar, but I want you to understand that this shepherd, this is the Lord, and he's shepherding your soul. It's not like going out there on Highway 101 and just taking you through. This is coming deep inside of you on a journey. I mean, deeper than your reality and your concept, your understanding of this world. When you're not walking by faith, I can tell, and you know yourself, you're worried about everything that's happening. But you're more aware of things outside of you than your innermost being. Place where rivers of living water, a life-giving spirit, flow. At the source of that river is God. He's drawing your soul. We call that turning or repentance. But we turn to God. We had our outward pursuits. I'm going to teach you why that happened. But we're pursuing something outward that we think will make us better than what we are. Something that we have to have that will make us complete. It could be as silly as a pair of Jordan sneakers that we think are going to make us better. And we got to have it and we pursue it. But that part of us that's longing to come into truth that can only be found by the Spirit that said, I love you just like you are. You're the one that's putting yourself down. You're the one that don't know how valuable you are. You don't know why I would give my life for you. You don't even know what that means unless it's valued in money and dollars and cents. It's the only way you know what's valuable. And so he speaks to us and says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And we're talking about the soul. This is the shepherd leading your soul. You've turned to God and life is in you. And everything has changed, but the word of God keeps bringing revelation about the treasure that's in this earthen vessel. And the pathway that he's leading you. He's leading you beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's what I want to put you on, the paths of righteousness. I want you to turn because you got to understand that this is a journey. And you're coming into more and more revelation of the perfection and completion of what God has created called a living soul. We just see all that's wrong. And because we haven't allowed God to give us revelation, and I had to allow him to give me revelation that, and that's where I learned that I couldn't control the relationship when he began to draw me and said, we're going to do this today. But I didn't even ask him to deal with anger today because I had suppressed it, and I thought I had it under control. But he says he restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. He's doing all of this. His name's sake. And it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, if you don't get anything else, you have to understand that if you know that he's with you, it doesn't matter where you are on the journey. It doesn't matter where you are, and we're going into the subterranean places in you. And there's all sorts of fears and doubts that God is bringing you and bringing you to and through and saying, look, they're just shadows. We're going through some glorious places, still waters. Sometimes we don't understand the journey. And so we try to lead ourselves, and we need a shepherd down there. I don't know about here. In the open, sight is pretty good. It's pretty good. And my intellectual knowledge about things is okay. But down here, none of that matters. You better be able to follow in the footsteps of your shepherd. Talking about the soul, these are spiritual things. This, I'm going to tell you about restoration now. The pr- primary, the basic meaning of restoration is movement. Movement back to the point of departure, back to the presence of God, back to his face-to-face relationship. If I could just tell you this right now. Psalm 17:15 is my prayer. Always. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. And I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. This is the journey. Back to him, the restoration of the reality. And we work so hard to be righteous. And it's he that has called you righteous. And if God says you're righteous, I don't know who can say otherwise. If you understood redemptive purposes and redemptive principles, and if you allow God to lead you, then you would not be doing this. So the restoration of the soul. What is this soul? And what does it mean? In Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul or being. And so what is a soul? Let me just make it simple. In the world, we make everything complex. That's why it says the kingdom of God, you can't find it unless you become like a little child. Right. Kingdom of God and all the things of God is not complex. It's very simple, but we make it complex. So what is a soul? The soul is really just the breath of God. The breath of life, or the breath of God breathed into the nostrils of Adam. He breathed into Adam his breath, and he became a living soul. And the soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And in the mind is thoughts and consideration, rational and intellectual understanding. The will is the determination, the intentions, resolve. And our emotions are passions and feelings and desires. And God breathed into man this living soul. Thought, resolve, and passion. And it was his passion and his thoughts and his resolve that he breathed into Adam. And Adam began to live. And anything that's alive is moving. So the breath of life is vigorous. It's like the wind. It's like fresh rivers of living, running water. And anything that's alive is moving. But we need to know the movement is to be back to God when you wake up and you realize that you see his face and that you are changing to the same image that you're looking at, and you didn't do anything but just keep looking and beholding the Lord as in a mirror, the glory of God, and you are changed. Man, if it's that easy, it can't be. What's my contribution? Because if I can't contribute, that's what we get, my contribution. And so God often has to bring you to the end of yourself so you can't contribute. And then your soul just began to be led and be drawn. And all you can do is just follow him, follow hard after him, because you've gone too deep to turn around. You will never find your way back. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I said, God, take me so deep in your presence until I'll never be able to find my way back. I used to pray that. And I want to keep going no matter what it feels like to my soul, because often my soul, sometimes it wants to tell God what's wrong and what's right. It want to tell God what he needs to do. And if you don't fix that now, I'm going to be in trouble, God. Don't you know? And that's how we pray about the things that he tells us not to even give thought about. And so God is moving us, and he's telling us that he's bringing us to the place where we understand that anything that's alive is moving, but the movement has to be back to God. But and it's towards desire. Can you shout desire? The movement is toward desire, whether it is the movement towards God and his good pleasure, his will, or your pleasure, your will. But there's movement. And we have to understand where this happened. In Genesis 3:6, it's talking about Eve. So when the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to her eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took and ate it. When she began to see the tree, and that tree is outside of her, and this going to add something to me that I didn't have, that this is what I'm thinking, I don't have it, and this is desirable to make me wise, she took it and ate it. And it's pleasant to my eyes, and it's good for food. That's when the soul began to go after his own desires. Not the pleasure of God. And the good pleasure of God is to give you. Just to give it. That's what love is, giving. God is love, and he just delights to give. But we want to tell God when we should have it. So it's movement. Verse 8 of Genesis 3 tells us when man began to run away from the presence of God. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves among the trees of the garden. And in verse 9, God said, where are you? And Adam said, I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked. Fear comes in. He's afraid. And he says, because I'm naked. But God said, who told you this? Who told you? When you start telling yourself what you should do. It wasn't like that. Adam didn't tell God that he was alone and he needed a helper. It was God who said it wasn't good. Yeah. That wasn't Adam's responsibility to figure out what he needed. God knows what he needs. All he had to do is allow himself to meet with God, to be drawn in the cool of the day. And so we learn now that the movement should be towards desire, but it's the desire for the presence of God and his will. In my mind, let me just break this down again. Mind, will, and emotion. My mind controls the direction of movement. It controls the movement or directs the course of the movement. And we see that in Romans 8:5. It tells us if we live according to the flesh, we set our minds on the desires of the flesh. So my mind set on the flesh that is trying to satisfy my desires. So it directs my whole soul, because the mind is the lead member of the soul. The emotions are the very foundation, the very core, the very stability of yourself. But the mind is the lead member, and it controls the direction of the movement. And understand that the soul is alive and it's moving. And it's either moving towards your desire or God. But a mind set on the spirit desires what the spirit wants. So my mind controls the direction of movement. My will controls the power movement, the resolve, the forward progress, the force to go forward, onward, to push or cause to go through or penetrate. By sheer will, you are able to do some things that you would not believe. But my emotions drive the movement. My emotions drive the movement and momentum. Extreme, compelling passions drive excitement and enthusiasm. Strong feelings that has an overpowering and compelling effect. My emotions are strong feelings, excitement, awareness around discernment, recognizing and judging, discerning through heightened awareness of the senses, sight, smell, touch, taste, hearing. Have you ever saw something that made you start feeling bad? You ever smell something that made you feel good? Our emotions are attached to our senses. But we have to understand that they are the very core and foundation of our reality. And God wants to bring us into that place. Now, before I go any further, I got to tell you the goal. The goal of the Lord is integration, blending and mingling himself with us throughout our innermost being. That's his goal. He wants to bring us into, as John 17, 21 to 20 says, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be one in us. And that the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in oneness. So I need to tell you that. That's his goal, just oneness. That's the goal. That's where he's bringing us. That's the journey. You're coming back to him. And the closer you get, the more you realize how the presence of God changes you. Now, I know I'm in the presence of God because there's fullness of joy. And I had to learn that David, that's what he did. He knew how to set the Lord or keep the Lord always before him. And because he's at his right hand, he said, I can't be moved. And so he learned how to position his soul, and he learned how to be led, and he learned how to allow his mind to bring the direction to that which he has before him. But he also could express his emotions like no other man that I know except Jesus. Jesus could cry and weep. He was always in touch. And matter of fact, he even quoted this psalm when he said, Father, why are you so far from me and helping me? Psalm 22. He's expressing his soul because he's going through a difficult time, a stressing time. His soul is going through the shallows of death. But he doesn't fear. But you have to express. The mind, direction towards purpose, pleasure, a desire, the power of making a decision, a choice for purpose or pleasure. That's your mind. And the will is the power of determination, resolve, and fixed purpose, particularly desire towards purpose and pleasure. But the emotions are strong feelings that brings you into this place of understanding. Now, the essence of all God's creation, including man's soul, is spirit. That which makes something what it is, intrinsic, fundamental nature. And we know Ephesians 4:23 speaks of being renewed in the spirit of our mind. There's a spirit of your mind. The very foundation of everything is spirit. When God breathed into man, he breathed into himself, his face. And so the emotions are strong feelings and awareness centered around love, hate, fear, anger, revenge, hopelessness, discouragement, betrayal, jealousy, anxiety, and depression. All of those things are in our emotions. And our emotions house our memory of wrong done to us, an injury, a pain, anger from betrayal or disappointment. Our injury in memory of that wrong is in our emotions. The memory. That's what I was telling you, that you try to forget in your mind rationally, intellectually, but your emotion never forget. Where you have been injured or hurt, you stop growing. All of my pain and anger is in my emotional self where the injury took place. In my emotion is also the cry for justice. And there's a sense of fairness. This is what your emotion said. That wasn't right what they did to me. Where is my justice? Where is my justice? Well, that's all right. Just be quiet. Don't worry about it. Just be quiet. God will take care of it. You understand? Your emotions are meant to be expressed. Again, that's why the Psalms are there. They're not meant to be suppressed. In my emotions is the cry of justice and the sense of fairness and must be expressed. My emotions, my feelings often tell me when something is not right, especially something that has been done wrong to me or that happened to me. We often are taught to suppress our emotions, but they will not be quiet no matter how I try to suppress. We are very abusive to our emotional part of ourselves. We are. We are told to control your emotions. Just get over it. We are told emotions are weakness. Don't show them. Your feelings should be hidden. You can't trust them. Or you shouldn't feel that way. You ever been told you can't trust your emotions? Your emotion house your memory of an injury, of a pain, something that was done, some disappointment that you're carrying. It could be from your promise that your parents made, or it could be even worse. And it's such a sensitive place in you that you have been injured, and you just try to forget it and move on, and you just can't, and you can't understand why you're so angry. You're a saint. You can't show this feelings, and it just keep coming out, erupting like a volcano. And at the wrong time, it's people that probably didn't even deserve it. Your family members. We are taught to develop our mind, our rational person, and the will. We should have great resolve. But feelings are seen as weakness and can't be trusted, looked down upon, even despised, even rejected. So we suppress, like we often do the Holy Spirit. We quench and grieve him. We won't let him express what he wants to say. But this is good news. The Spirit understands the emotions and how to restore the soul, because the Spirit himself, can you say himself, has been quenched, suppressed, and tried to be controlled and not heard and grieved. So he knows what it feels like, so he's the one that can restore the fullness of the emotional part of you so that you're moving with the fullness of what God created in your soul. So the soul is the core, the very central or innermost part of anything. And God is bringing us to that place that we will not allow our emotions to be told to shut up. The Lord is giving us the freedom and permission to feel. just like we have the freedom and the mind to think, or the resolve and determination to will to do. We are given permission to feel without judgment, and that is critical, that we can feel and not feel like it's wrong. That somebody did something to you at some point that you haven't resolved, and your emotions are saying, crying out for justice, and they will not be quiet now. Because there can be no freedom if you're still in bondage to a feeling, that even if you've forgotten it, and God is himself, the creation itself, also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. We are talking about glorious liberty of the sons of God, but we can't have this glorious liberty if we're still in bondage in our emotions, if we are treating them like they don't belong or they don't count. God said you can never move in all the power that he has given you. Why, I told you it's going to be an eruption. It's going to be an explosion in this place as you begin to be in touch with things that you have forgotten, but they are still in you. You feel the pain of it. You wonder, how come you're not free? You wonder, where is the glorious liberty? When is it going to come? That's Romans 8:21, but 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is glorious liberty. There is liberty, but we haven't invited the Spirit into our emotions. They are not good enough for the Spirit, so we just keep hiding them. And we don't know what's wrong. We don't know what's wrong, but it's my soul that's speaking. In Psalm 16, verse 2, it says, oh, my soul has said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. In verse 8 of Psalm 16, I've set the Lord always before me. Have you heard your soul speaking to God, crying out to God for justice? And the Spirit of God praying the will of God and saying that I'm bringing justice now. But you have to be aware of what I'm doing. You see, there is hope. I heard it today. There is hope. Hope is very powerful because hope is the anchor of the soul. Amen. Just like faith is for the spirit, hope is for the soul. Amen. And it says in Hebrews 6:18, that by the two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Soul doesn't just desire the omnipresent of God. It desires the presence that's behind the veil, the manifest presence. Your soul is anchored by hope, and that hope is the anchor of the soul that goes behind the veil into the presence behind the veil, and that's what that's what we deserve. That's what we were created for. It's not just the omnipresent God everywhere. Yes, he is. But there's a whole difference behind the veil in that presence. The manifest reality where there's fullness of joy. That's why you have a lot of Christians that are sad because they're just in the omnipresence. They don't know about fullness of joy, and the preacher is talking about that, and this is nonsense. Because I didn't get something. If I didn't get something outward, I didn't purchase something that brought me some joy for a moment. And I don't know about the inward joy. Your shepherd is bringing you into this place, and he's giving us that reality of truth. that there's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes we have eating disorders because someone did something to you and you didn't, you tried to tell somebody and they didn't listen. They just said, just forget over it, get over it, get over it, get over it. And your soul is still remembering what was done, and it's painful. And this is what happens. You get so angry. You get so angry. It's in your emotions. I don't know what has been done, but you have permission and freedom to let it come forth as you pour it out to God. This is a safe place. Don't suppress it. I had to let it come out. Everybody thought I was the most gentle person, and I was. The reality, God was working this in me, but there was a part that I didn't show. I suppressed it, and I could get so angry. And to this day, I really don't know where the injury and what it was, but I began to allow it to come up, and I began to understand that that wasn't right, whatever it was, and I was able to say that I deserve justice. And there has to be a sense of fairness and justice and vindication, and vengeance belong to God and come from God. But we have to learn how to pour out our soul. That's what he wants. He wants you to be able to talk to him about whatever it is, and he will begin to lead you. And it just seemed like it was just dark clouds and things just coming up. And I wanted to suppress it because that's what I was taught and that's what I was accustomed to doing. And sometimes we teach our children at a young age not to feel and not to express the feelings, and God is pressing us into a freedom, a liberty he called the glorious liberty of the sons of God, that he's speaking to us that you have freedom to express everything that has happened to you, or everything that's good and everything that's perfect and everything that's of the Lord. They need to be expressed in psalms of thanksgiving. And sometimes in psalms of vengeance, Lord, vindicate me. Or psalms of I'm afraid, but you are encamp around about me. Have you noticed that at times they're pouring out and they're saying, kill all my enemies. By the end of the psalm, they're talking about how good God is. And that used to throw me off. But once you get all of that out of you, then you begin to be filled with a new revelation of the presence behind the veil. Face-to-face reality. You cannot have all of the suppression and have more reality of God. And church, I'm going to say this. It takes a lot of energy to suppress your anger and emotion. That's why we are tired and we don't know why we are tired and we feel sick and everything, because we have been given charge in our own, by our own self, to suppress our emotion. And the Spirit of God came to me and said, we're going to deal with that today. And I didn't think it was the right time. So I'm releasing the power of God to in you, and you just began to pour it out, and someone was telling me, we're going to have a church full of emotional people. Yeah, that's powerful people. That's powerful people. Passion drives you. It drives you to finish. It drives you to the finish line, just like your resolve and your determination and your will or your mind that give direction to where you're going. It's all important, and God's desire and his goal is to mingle in every part of you and bring you into oneness again where you're not separated. And so his word is coming like a two-edged sword, quick and powerful, dividing soul and spirit so that he can put it back together again through his covenant word, and bring healing to you by allowing you simply to express yourself. How simple could that be? That I could get healed by telling God that what was done to me really wasn't right. And that I had discernment about it. And when I told them that they did this to me, they told me to be quiet. But my feelings, they just won't be quiet in this season. They're erupting. And God is saying, I want you to see the power behind this. That when you release the Spirit of God, you release your emotion, there is an intersect, a power. So let us stand. I'm done now. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let him draw you.